Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Terry Fletcher.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Terry Fletcher, which means this is week two of the WTF, What the Football, happenings around the NFL. And I have to tell you, it's been a depressing couple of days. As you know, because I'm sure we have podcasted it to death, Ben is on IR. He had pulled a ligament and tore something in his near his elbow. And so he is going to be out for the season. And Mason Rudolph is going to step it up, and he's going to be now our starter, which actually I'm really excited to see this guy. But for him to start is going to be exciting. You can just tell the way he carries himself, his swagger, and just how he really kind of commands the huddle. I really like what he's doing out there. So he is more than a serviceable backup, as people like to call it. They used to use that for Charlie Batch when he would come in and kind of hold the fort down until Ben got back. Well, we're all praying that Ben gets back. There's no question. We want our fearless leader there. He put out his own statement that he has a contract and he wants to fulfill that contract, and the Steelers made a commitment to him, and he's going to continue his commitment to them. So regardless of how Mason plays, and we are excited to hopefully get to the playoffs, and let's face it, we're excited to just win a game at some point, hopefully this weekend against the 49ers, but this is still Ben's team. Ben is under contract. Ben is our leader. It's all about Ben. And yes, at some point we do have to make the transition. But this is good. This is what the coaches need to see. You know, how can he come back from that injury? What is it going to be for Rudolph? And how is he going to be able to lead the team? And so that's going to be our WTF for the whole season, really. How are we doing each week? And there's really not, in my opinion, a lot of pressure on Rudolph. It's funny because you see the media people saying, oh, Ben's old and he needs to retire and the younger guys need to come in. And I don't know about you, but I'm like, WTF people, can you stop saying that? And then as soon as Ben gets hurt and he's out for the season, they're like, well, the team is lost and they're going 0-16 without Ben. So you can't have it both ways. He's either the leader and he's future Hall of Famer, or he's not, and it's just funny how the media tends to spin it. But before I get to even the game and everything that happened in that game, which for me it was even more heartbreaking with the loss at 28-26 than the game before with how many times the balls were dropped, but the officiating, let's just talk about that. We have to. And I'm so frustrated with the officiating. And it's not so much on the play calling itself and how the penalties, because there's a ton of them. What it is that these PI penalties and the challenges, whenever I hear that the coach is challenging of a no call PI, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. That is the worst thing that the NFL instituted, and I hope they get rid of it next year, just because that New Orleans Saints didn't like that something didn't get called. And yes, it was blatant, but how many times did we look at that game last year and think, okay, how many times are you guys going to pull the face mask on Goff and not call that? There were so many non-calls in that game, I don't think they should have changed the rules. First of all, this is not football. Oh, was there a penalty? Oh, okay, maybe there wasn't. Let's go back and look at not real time. Let's go back and look at tape, and let's go back and replay it and go, what do you think? No, what do you think? Do you think he was too much handling? Do you think there was too much shoving? Was there any kind of push off? What do you think? And it just gets to the point where it's just a mess. The challenges that came out, the one that really gets me hot is the one with Edmonds, and we're in the middle of the field. And I just don't know. Even Tony Dungy said something about this where it gets overturned and you've got two players in the middle of the field that are both trying for the ball, and it should never have been called interference. And then you see AB push off in New England and no call at all, and no call in the Atlanta game where Julio Jones also had something on him. The Green Bay game, all clear and obvious that it was there was a pass interference, and they did not call it. So these pass interference, you know, reviews by the NFL officiating are just not making any sense. It's supposed to be clear that you can change it, and they just seem to look at what game they're on. I mean, how do you not change that one call when Antonio Brown pushes off? Yes, they're playing Miami, and so obviously they want everybody to score 40 or 50 points, but come on. That was so clear. And again, I just quote Tony Dungy. He's really frustrated. On Sunday Night Football, he just said, "What is going on here? This is just not right, and there's so much offensive pass interference that's so clear and obvious, and to overturn certain calls like the one in Pittsburgh that was not clear and obvious, it's they're changing games to the point where people are going to lose their jobs. And to challenge a no call, that's just wrong to me. So WTF, not only on the officials, but the league for allowing this rule to come into play. And it's just absolutely asinine. It's just ridiculous. So let's take a look at our game before I get into what happened around the league. And there were many moments, as most of you know, and oh my goodness, Moncrief. So he dropped the ball again, and it led to an interception and points for Seattle. And after that, we didn't see him. So he had to basically, they're like, take a seat, son. But the thing that was interesting is that he did go back in, I think, towards the end of the game for a kickoff return. And then you didn't see him again. And at the Tomlin press conference today, he was asked, somebody actually asked him about that. Are you going to help him work through it? What's your plan for him? And he said, he's got some challenges ahead and I don't know. But he said it in Tomlin's angry voice. So you can tell he has no interest in basically helping a veteran figure out how to catch the damn ball. And I put it out today. I would have loved to seen somebody just call Dez Bryant. I know some of you are going to be like, okay, Terry, WTF for yourself. But, and I know Joe will say that to me because he just says, stop. And I'm even thinking Terrell Pryor. He's half quarterback, half wide receiver. And right now he's backing up in, I keep wanting to say San Diego, but LA Chargers, who he's just wasted there. And so we really need somebody else. And I understand the signing of Paxton Lynch, which basically to our practice squad so they can see what they have there. And he's got experience playing in actual games. So I think actually that was a good third option signing. And that's why they signed him, because he has practice squad eligibility. That's exactly what Coach Tomlin said today. And oh, here's a good WTF moment. So on Tuesdays, for those of you who don't know, Coach Tomlin, Mike Tomlin, he has a press conference every Tuesday so that he can tell you the injuries of the week. He kind of does a little bit of a scenario of what happened last week, but he kind of moves past it. And then he really lays it out for you. What is coming up in the next week? He not only goes about talking about our guys, but he gives offensive and defensive detail on the team ahead that we're playing. And he was pretty clear, not just the injuries, but the changes they made, the acquisitions they made. I'll get to a great one in a minute. But he was clear on why they picked up the third quarterback, Paxton Lynch. And we still had a media person. I actually thought it was Jeremy Fowler, but it turns out, I'll get the name for you. But it turns out that one of the media guys, he basically said, have you thought about Kaepernick? People, stop with the Kaepernick talk. Now, I hear he's headed to New York because it's a mess in the Jets. And they're more of a mess than any team right now. It's pretty awful. But he hasn't played since 2017, and he quit on his team in San Francisco. He basically said, release me. I'm fine. I'm going to go out on my own and do what I want. And then his whole personal controversy, with the giving the knee and everything. But I'm telling you, it doesn't matter. Let's just put that aside and say he hasn't played in 2 years. I don't care if Nike loves him. He's not in football shape, and you should see the look. You should have seen the look on Coach Tomlin's face, because it's not just an audio press conference. He's actually at the podium, and I pull it up on my iPad. He was not happy. He's like, you are seriously asking me this question? I mean, and everybody in the room, you just know that it had to have an eye roll. But he had his angry voice and just was like, no, we needed somebody for the practice squad. And I just told you and explained it to you. So it's crazy what people want to ask. It kind of reminds me when I was in college and I was waitressing, and somebody, you tell them what you have. So the special of the day is this. Oh, by the way, we're out of chicken and we have Sprite, Pepsi, and Coke. And they're like, do you have root beer? And you just look at that person. Did you hear what I said? So WTF people, just the media, stop asking weird questions. So here's something that is kind of interesting. We did sign a cornerback who is coming in as a safety, and I can't believe we got him. I was pretty excited about it, and most people are excited about it. There's a few people that just want to say this season's over and we should save a first-round draft pick. This guy is a first-round draft pick. Minka Fitzpatrick, he is playing right now, or was playing with Miami. They Coach Tomlin said he touched down today. He will be playing with us against the 49ers. I don't know if he'll be starting, but he said he will see some time. They want to catch him up to speed this week. That's why they're happy they have a full week. Sean Davis went to IR. And so we have a great now secondary. They're getting rid of people who can't do their job. Look at our defense. They're trying, but they're on the field a lot right now, and they're just not getting it done. I don't know, for those of you in fantasy that had the Steelers defense, 6 points this week, 1 point last week. Okay, that should tell you something. You know what's interesting about that? And this is my WTF moment real quickly on fantasy football. I have Terrell Edmonds. He's back there. I have TJ Watt. And because in my money league, I have to pick defensive players. And I also have, who's my other guy? Cameron Haywood, and I had Tua. So I had four defensive players. You can have as many from one team if you want. That's just me doing that. And I had 22 points just for their players, but 6 points on defense as the team as a whole, because that's about scoring. That is just so weird. It's just weird to me. Just a side thing. But TJ Watt forced a fumble that Mark Barron took back for what looked like a touchdown. But a block in the back by Sean Davis negates the score. Now, Tyler Lockett did a great acting job. Talk about a flopper, man. I'm like, he barely touched him. But this is right in front of a ref, and he sold it. And, of course, that's Steeler football after the turnover. And it was just unnecessary. We walked into the end zone. So that could have won the game for us. The other thing that, and let me just get on the referees again, I know most of you saw this. This was absolutely a WTF moment. They blew another call. Okay, so play clock down is zero. And I'm like, oh, delay of game. Russell Wilson had the ball on 3rd and 16. They let the play go on for at least 2 to 3 seconds. And we know what happened after that. So they get a score. It was a mess after that. But that was on 3rd and 16. He gets a delay of game. We get the ball back. So somebody needs to be fined. They need to be held accountable, and not the coaches for calling out the refs. But that was one of the most blatant in our game that I saw. So let's take a look at what's going on around the league. And there's all kinds of things going on around the league that that definitely have a WTF feel to them. So Adam Vinatieri, Colts kicker, he missed another field goal. Now, the coach should not be saying, don't quit, don't retire. Basically he should be saying, can you fix this? He has been in the league too long, over 20 years. Can you fix this? He's not somebody who needs coached. They need to get another kicker while he figures out if he can fix it, because he's just not making them. So between the field goals and two extra points last week, another field goal this week, and their game changing issues, so losing games, they need to figure that out. Yes, the Patriots won 43-0 over Miami. Let's just move on from that. The WTF is how everybody's like, oh my gosh, Patriots. Oh my gosh, Miami. Miami's terrible right now. That's why I put out something out there. I really hope they get the right Fitzpatrick to our team. I'd hate them to send over, oh, we meant Ryan. No, please. No. Now, has anybody get a chance to watch Kansas City play? If you ever kind of get bored on the weekend and you're done watching the Steelers game and you're ready to go watch a game that's just fun to watch, go watch it's called the Patrick Mahomes Show. It's on the Kansas City channel. That kid, oh my gosh, he throws from his knees, throws from the ground, 4 touchdowns in 1 quarter. And yeah, of course they won over the Raiders. But wow, he is just a fun player to watch. And the WTF is that he actually got slightly hurt. I think it was, I don't know if it was his finger or his ankle. And then 2 minutes later, he's like, put me back in. What are you thinking, putting somebody else in? But our quarterback was not the only one who had an injury this weekend. And if you saw anything, you saw Drew Brees. He hurt his thumb. Aaron Donald went to block him and a pass, and he hit his hand, and he couldn't grip the ball. So Teddy Bridgewater, his backup, had to go in, and he's now out for six weeks with a torn ligament as well. It's in a different spot, but when you can't grip the ball, that's a problem. I actually would guess it's more like 8 weeks. Now, I know Drew Brees is a heck of a competitor, and he'll try to come back in, but where it is and with his passing, I have a feeling because of the grip, he is going to be about 6 weeks. So that's an unfortunate WTF for a 40-year-old quarterback who obviously he's got some crazy numbers up there, and you just know that without him, I can see them saying that their team definitely has some issues. On Thursday Night Football, Tampa Bay beat the Panthers. Now, I know Thursday Night Football traditionally is just WTF. You know, you just sit there and go, why? Who made this decision? It was supposed to be divisional teams playing on Thursdays, but they basically say, no, we want everybody to get a chance, apparently. And Tampa Bay beat them 20-14. But Cam Newton, he has lost his last eight starting games since 2018. And his old lady outfit with the scarf on his head, I just don't get it. And when he said, you know, I need to look in the mirror, dude, look in the mirror before you get to the podium. But he's not healthy. There's always something wrong with him. And don't forget, he was in a rollover car accident a couple years ago. And he's just perpetually hurt. So I just don't see the Panthers doing anything unless they move on from him, which is sad because he's a big guy. But he is a hurt guy and quite a bit. And on Sunday Night Football, Atlanta beats Philly, but ugly first half. The teams had a total of 12 injured players and just in and out of, I mean, everybody was just leaving. It just didn't, nobody was coming in. That's actually how I won my fantasy league this week. I couldn't believe it because I didn't think I was going to, but I won 123-113, even with Ben only giving me 2.5 points, because the guy that I was playing against had two players left, and his players kept going out in the first quarter. And I was like, oh, he's not coming back. Oh, there's another one not coming back. So I lucked out there. But I mentioned about stopping with the Kaepernick talk to everybody. You know, one thing that I think would be kind of fun, has anybody heard Tony Romo comment on games? Have you heard him on CBS? He knows what's going to happen before it happens. He's like the Nostradamus of football. And I would love to see him as a defensive coordinator in Pittsburgh. I think we should start a petition. What do you think? He would be awesome out there, just basically saying, this is what's going to happen. And as soon as somebody said, oh, no, that's not, he's like, you want to bet? I'm all knowing. But I just would love to see Tony Romo do that. That would be hilarious to me. On Monday Night Football, so last night, the Browns beat the Jets 23-3. Was not a fun game to watch either. Bell actually fumbled, and I saw him crying on the sideline. Grass isn't always greener. I know his frustration is going to be huge. They're on their third quarterback because their second quarterback, Trevor Siemian, he actually was throwing the ball and scrambling, and the Myles Garrett, the defender on the Browns, oh my gosh, I wish I did not see that in person. Talk about roughing the passer. He already got rid of the ball, and he fell on him as he's going down. His ankle twists under his leg, and he fell right on it. I can't believe they haven't reported that he has a broken ankle. So far now, all they're saying is it is a sprained ankle, but it was bad. And so now the new guy comes in. I don't even remember his name. But when you've got that, you're down to your third quarterback, I don't care how great Adam Gase is, you are having trouble, especially a quarterback that both of them don't have any kind of stability with the team, no history with the team, and the third quarterback didn't even have any reps with the team. So this will be interesting. I did hear that that Kaepernick was on a plane heading to New York. That could be a landing spot. Who knows? Definitely would be a media spot, that's for sure. One thing I'm going to actually put out a WTF moment for me, I don't like it when players don't give effort. I just think seeing them stand around or see them think that they're bigger than their team or the game just drives me crazy. And if you have a chance to go watch some of the Monday night game again, that you can see it if you have Game Pass or anything on NFL.com. There was about 35 or 40 seconds left in the first half, And I see Odell Beckham Jr. heading to the locker room. He's just jogging over. He wasn't hurt, nothing. The offense was still on the field. And I'm like, what the football is he going into the locker room for? They're not done playing. They were getting a drive done. They needed some more points. So I just really hate it when a player gets to decide when he goes into the locker room, not when the time expires and it's time for everybody to go in. So I really hope the coach takes issue with that, because that just, I don't know, that just really bugged me. Now, I heard this morning, and I think this is just a sad WTF, the 0-2 Giants, who, you know, if you've seen any game at all, you have to turn it, because it's just, it's not good to watch. But they're benching Eli Manning, and first round pick Daniel Jones is starting this weekend, which makes me wonder, well, do you think this will affect Eli Manning as far as a Hall of Famer? He has struggled the last couple of years anyway, even though he has two Super Bowls under his belt. One was kind of a fluke, and I know his last name's Manning, but he just hasn't been a very good quarterback in the last couple of years. So I think this is going to be a new role for him. Clipboard holder, backup quarterback, headset on, and you know he will give support to Daniel Jones. And this isn't what McAdoo did, I think, last year or 2 years ago, you know, just benching him for one game because he wanted to see what he had in another player. This is him basically just, they're just not getting it done, and they did get Daniel Jones as their overall, I think it was pick number 7, first round pick. And they need to see what they have. It's time to figure that out. So that was kind of a sad WTF for me. But now I'm going to go off on one of my people that continue to say something about Kirk Cousins being this awesome quarterback. I swear that is probably one of the worst signings I've ever seen. And am I a hater for him? I don't know him, but I think he's overrated. I mean, he threw a terrible late pick that was an absolute backbreaker in his game. And that was a game that featured two strong defenses against the Packers, and Cousins needed to step up in a big spot, but his decision on the Kevin King interception was just awful, and the throw was even worse. And so I know it's only the week 2, but Kirk Cousins' track record in such contests, his game-losing play came as no surprise to me. That's just who he is. He is just awful. So it's just really hard for me to even understand what everybody sees in him. But moving forward, I just hope the Steelers, I'm going to shout them out this week. I hope we can pull out a win. Actually, I'm pretty confident now. We got a defense anchor, and that looks like that could really, that's one piece that we were missing. I think Mason Rudolph looks very, very, very comfortable, and he looks confident. And even though the 2-0 49ers are there, they have to lose sometime, right? So we'll see what's going to happen, but I'm excited for the contest this weekend and more WTF moments. And so everyone, thanks for listening, and make it a great day. And until next time, this is Terry Fletcher, Steel City Underground.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.